Hey everyone, this is Michael.
And yeah, Matt.
And just us today, because our good friends Andrew and Connor are not with us.
So you're down to two hosts. I would say arguably the best hosts.
I
So it's
would
going to be a good
say
episode.
there's really no argument in it. We are the best hosts.
We're the best hosts. So I think if you're listening, you should probably stick around for the entire thing because it's going to be our best episode yet. We have a new segment that we're going to try here. It's called Get Real, Get Random. I don't care if you hate the name. I thought of it, so just accept it for how it is. This is no experience required. So, if anyone was listening to our special Beer Olympics podcast, I'm just gonna close the loop for you here. It really pains me to say this, but we do have a winner in our presence. His name is Michael. Team Italy took the win here. I'm very sad. I'm gonna tell you, Mike, I thought your body was gonna fail. I had no faith in you.
I think my body was probably the most resilient of everyone's there. So, really, no surprise that we pulled out the W and that my body was on the line and it pulled through once again.
You know, I think the only thing you really had to do to win this was not hit a trash can or a tree.
Yeah. Yeah. The real, they should have renamed this to Dizzy Bat 2018 because that was really the only event that actually mattered and it really showed who was the best at Beer Olympics.
Truly, this was a competition about
Who
who
can
was the
run?
last one to lose more
Yeah.
than the one to win.
Who can run in a straight line after going around a bat three times?
That might sound like a very simple task, but trust me, when
Yeah.
you're about 3 hours in to chugging a lot of beer and then throw some Jim Beam in the mix and then some boxed wine, there's a lot of problems that could happen. So it is with a lot of disdain that I say congratulations.
Yeah, I'll see everyone next year. You know, greatness does happen on more than one occasion, and you guys will see in 2019 that it will happen again.
Well, Team France isn't going to come back with a vengeance by any means. So we'll just end that right there. So we have a new segment for you guys. It's called Get Real, Get Random. Basically, what we're going to try to do is give you some nice, deep, intellectual conversation first, and then throw that all away with a really random topic that means nothing. And this week, I'm giving the privilege of the deep topic to Mike.
Yeah, so I was thinking of something deep, one would say balls deep, to ask you.
I always hope so.
And I thought I would keep it pretty vague. And my question for you is, what in your life gives you purpose? What makes you get up every single day? What makes you go to work? Tell me about that.
Oh no. See, that's a question. Like, I'm sure everyone has those days where you wake up in the morning, you're like, why am I doing this? And to be honest, I don't think a purpose thing is something I wake up to every day. I'm like, wow, I have to go to work and I'm gonna make a living for X reason. But if I really had to boil it down to something,
Yeah, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say purpose of your life?
to be honest, I feel like it's just the expectation on myself to be successful. I don't like a lot of things in life. Like, I don't want a lot of things unless they're clothes from H&M, which are super cheap, so I don't need a super successful job to do that. But I don't want a lot. So being super successful for me is like, well, what does that ultimately get me? Is that happiness or is just having that sense of accomplishment? I ultimately think it's a ladder there, but it's not really something I think about on a day-to-day. I'd be interested to hear what you say because you seem like you're pretty driven most of the time.
I think my purpose is to experience as many things as possible, to, you know, see as many things as possible. And I think if you find people to do that with, I think that even enhances the purpose of what you're doing. So the reason why I go to work every day is to afford the means to go experience those things and experience those things with the people I love.
So, from what I've talked to you about, at least, work can become pretty stressful. And sometimes, at least it happened to me, it could almost inhibit you. Even like during the weekends, it's like you don't want to do anything. You just kind of want to sit around, let life pass by so you can at least get those 2 days of recovery before you got to start at it again. And as you get more and more successful, that line between work and life blurs and it's almost kind of becomes a one full thing. Can you really see everything you want to see and do those experiences as you get more successful? So are you actually being counterproductive to what you want to do?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, especially like after working 60 hours a week and then that weekend you just want to do nothing. I think that's true to a certain extent where work starts to overtake that you, that becomes your free time, and there's really no free time to do the things that you really truly want to do. And I think that's inevitable. But at the same time, I think when we do certain things, that sort of enhances the importance of doing those things. So like when we went to New Orleans, that was just a couple days of just me breaking from the mundaneness, if that's even a word, of working. And it's truly an experience that I hold in my heart because it was a break from my everyday life and it was a break from sort of reality, and I experienced it with you guys. So I think to answer your question, yeah, it does start to overtake parts of your life and it sort of inhibits your ability to do the things that you want to do. But when you do those things that you truly do want to do, they're made even more important and even greater than you would expect.
Part of me freaks out when I'm thinking I'm living for those small moments, though. Like, it was a few days. I mean, I hope we do something like that very soon. Beer Olympics was pretty fun. I thought that was maybe one of those times, too. I think it's one of those, it happens a few times a year, but it's like the majority of times work, which is kind of what prompted my efficiency trips. And for all of you people who don't know what efficiency trips are, basically on a Friday night, middle of the night, drive somewhere maximum 12 hours away, spend that Saturday at that place, and then leave Sunday morning to get back in time for work on Monday. So that was my way of saying, I want to do this, all those things, experience all those things, but I don't want them to be so few and far between, because then I feel like I'm not living my life. But the only problem where I diverge with Mike is he says, you know, experience with people, but a lot of people don't want to go on a 24 hours of driving within a 3-day weekend. So I usually go it alone, though I've had some company certain times and everyone seems to have a good time. But my question, Mike, is like, do you think having someone to see all these things with is like a requirement? What if you didn't have a girlfriend or a friends couldn't go to where you really wanted to go one weekend or for a trip? Would you ever go it alone?
I mean, there are going to be certain times where, you know, your significant other or your significant others, as in your friends, won't be available to, you know, do things with you. And I think sort of autonomy and being able to see things on your own and being able to go out and do things on your own is super important just for your own well-being and sort of to sort of find yourself, as corny as that sounds. Like if you can't do something on your own, you're sort of missing out. I don't know. I feel like there's something very important with being able to go out and see things on your own and experience things on your own. And I think that's sort of necessary to do before you can experience it with someone else. If that makes sense. And that's not saying, yeah, like I need to go to New Orleans by myself before I can go with you guys. But I feel like just,
I would not advise that.
Yeah, that would be, I wouldn't be here talking today. But I feel like just generally speaking, you need to be able to be alone. And then once you're okay with being alone, then you could start accepting people into your life and doing things with them and experiencing things with them.
I think it's one of those things you have to tough on your own. That's my big push. I think you got to find happiness doing your own thing. And I guess that goes back to the original question of purpose. I guess ultimately it's happiness and comfortability. Like you wake up and you're like, I just want to be as good as I can today and just like accept who you are, except like, hey, things aren't going to go the way they're supposed to, but I'm just happy I'm around. As weird as that sounds, as I guess not high reaching as that sounds, it's kind of all you can do. But I think it led me to be happier, at least kind of waking up with that mindset.
I think it's not even being happy every single day, because I think in order to live a happy, fulfilling life, there needs to be days where you're unhappy. There needs to be days where things suck, because those days are the days that actually make you a better person. So like going to work every single day and you're like, wow, this sucks. Maybe that's not something you want to do. Maybe that's the catalyst to figuring out something else and maybe moving in a direction that you might not have moved in had work not sucked that bad. I think there is a necessity for pain and discomfort, and that's sometimes the catalyst to changing your life and changing your current situation.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you can't have the good without the bad. You're going to go through some shitty times. It just kind of is what it is. That being said, to anyone who is kind of feeling stuck in a certain path, I would say you can change, as scary as it seems, says the guy who had 5 jobs in 2 years. change. Life's too short, says the 24-year-old guys on No Experience Required. He can't wake up in the morning and be like, I really don't want to do this. I've been there before. And it's kind of like the shittiest feeling you could ever have. I mean, I know, Mike, you, it seems like you, while you have that stress, it's not like a toxic situation, right? Yeah. I mean, by any means, you do enjoy what you do. Yeah. There are some tough times, but at the end, it's like day, a good tough times.
It's nothing where, you know, I don't want to go to work, but I'll still always go to work. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm not skipping work because I hate it that much. It's stressful. Sometimes it gets boring, but I think that's just work in general. I think another thing that we have to talk about is like the importance of constantly reevaluating the reasons why you think about things, or the beliefs that you hold. Why do you hold them? I feel like if you don't constantly question yourself and question why this is the case and why you do certain things, you're going to remain stagnant and you're not going to grow as a human being.
My counter to that is I feel like that leads to overthinking a lot. I think that's some of my biggest problems, to be honest. I think I overevaluate and then I make changes before I can really determine if something is good or bad for me. And that's forgetting just work situations. That's every situation I've ever put myself in. I overthink everything. And it doesn't lead to the greatest decisions, and I'm definitely not stagnant.
Yeah. So what I would say about that is, don't quote me on this, but I believe Thomas Edison...
You're being recorded.
I believe Thomas Edison failed to make a light bulb like 1,000 times, and he explained that every single time that he did not successfully make a light bulb, he said that he did not fail making a light bulb. He said that he found another way not to make a light bulb. And I feel like even if you change your mind, make a hasty decision, hopefully there's not that much ramifications to that hasty decision, but you sort of learn more about yourself and that mistake than had you not made that mistake in the first place.
One of my things I always like to go back to is there is no such thing as a wasted experience. Every experience has its benefits. If you think of something as a throwaway, then it's going to be a throwaway, but like life is not like that. You gotta just accept every experience. I've had experiences that I'm like, this is really shitty. But then I'm like, all right, what's the good thing that came out of it? And I just walk away with that.
I think constantly thinking about the purpose in which you're doing things is very important. I think it'll give you maybe the motivation to wake up to go to work that morning, or it sort of justifies what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly. No, I agree. So time for the get random part. So if you thought, wow, this has been a great episode, they're doing something different, they're not all just laughing over each other, well, I'm sorry, you can stop the podcast here. But now I have a really random ass question for you. Just given the beer Olympic spirit that we were just in, what sport would be the funniest to add a mandatory amount of alcohol to? So if you had any sport, just adding alcohol into the mix, what would be the funniest?
I'm honestly thinking international.
like a really weird ass sport, like a cricket. Really,
I was thinking about cricket, but to be honest, honestly, the first thing that came to my mind when you said this question was cricket. But I have no fucking idea how to play cricket, so
it's like baseball, but with flat bats and some cones.
Honestly, those guys could be hammered playing already, and I have no idea.
I'd be surprised if they weren't. See, I have a good one for this. So, okay. You know the sport water polo?
Yes.
Imagine there wasn't water. It was get some Henny up in there. Drake's would be so proud.
It'd be a couple $100,000 to fill that pool up, just a straight Henny. I like that. That's a good idea.
So, I think how much water does like a water polo like swallow during a game? Probably. I would do that if any.
They probably swallow so much water.
They'd be hammered.
They would be hammered, yeah.
Would that be like a super liability? Like, would they start drowning because they're just destroyed?
Oh, 100%. There would be a lot of fatalities. A lot of fatalities.
Fatalities. That's going to be an ongoing joke.
Yeah. I think the most visually appealing version of a hammered sport would be long distance running. Right before you have to run, you need to, you know, take 10 shots. And then as you're running, they're going to get progressively more hammered.
Hold on. 10 shots, what's time span? Like you said before the race,
but you just rapid fire them right before.
You're going to kill all these people weigh 110 pounds soaking wet. Yeah. You're going to have a bunch of Kenyans and Ethiopians die on the start line.
100%. I think that would be the most visually appealing. People just, people hitting like mile 5 and then just getting KO'd.
They have these things called beer miles. I don't know if you've heard of them. So explain. For the for the uninformed, basically what happens is you run a mile, but here's the catch. The start gun goes off. You chug 12 ounces of beer. You run a lap. Then you chug 12 more ounces of beer, run a lap, and so on and so forth. So you have chugged four beers and ran four laps to get a mile. Usually everyone completely throws up, but guess what? There are all these videos on the internet, which makes it really funny.
Right.
So with running, it actually does work. I think changing it from like beer to shots and 10 of them might be a little much, but unless you want to wipe us all out.
So I was thinking about it that whole time you were talking, and I think the best,
okay,
I think the best would be badminton, Olympic badminton.
Why?
Because no one watches that to begin with.
I love badminton.
If people were fucked up playing badminton, every time you get a point, you have to chug. Something like okay. that.
No. All right. Halfway through the game, everyone involved will be screaming, shuttlecock, because they're so inappropriate at that point.
What's the Winter Olympics sport? We watched it. It's when you...
Oh, curling.
Curling, yeah. Those guys are fucked up to begin with. They don't need... All those guys are drunk when they play.
Yeah, I feel like that's the only reason you're like good at that sport.
I feel like the audience, yeah, is also fucked up when they're watching it because
these are not men of steel by any means. They got beer guts.
They're Olympic heroes, gold medalists. We beat Canada.
They train Tuesdays after work from their day job.
Yeah, after dropping their kids off at aftercare.
All right, hold on. So I mentioned water polo as a good sport. How about regular polo, like on horses, but the horses had a drink?
The horses are fucked up the whole
the
time.
The horses are fucked up.
I like that.
But the people on the horses aren't. So they're freaking the fuck out as the horses are fucking them up.
I like that. I like that. That'd be good.
No, that would be so funny. You know what they should have it in? Bull riding. Like, you want the guy to be drunk as he's on it.
Those guys 100% need to drink alcohol because they're getting fucked up.
Would be so... What's a sport where you absolutely would not want alcohol involved? I feel like every sport should have alcohol involved now.
I think so. I think soccer would kind of suck because...
Kind of really does. They don't score.
Yeah. Yeah. It would just suck because they're running back and forth so frequently. I feel like you would just, you know, with the heat and the dehydration, you would just hate your life.
I think that goes back to the running thing. I feel like anything that involves a large amount of running. Yeah.
But like I said, visually appealing for the runners. Just 120-pound men just getting KO'd 5 miles in.
No, exactly. It's fun to watch. See, something it wouldn't affect, luge. Winter Olympic luge. They don't even do anything. I don't think luge is a real sport.
I'm pretty sure the whole talent in luge is just praying not to die.
Yeah, you go off of the slide, you're done. It's like, don't die.
No, yeah.
Don't die, and you're good.
Yeah, it's just, you get into, like, this hardcore sled and just pray not to die. No
skill involved at all.
Yeah, so you've seen my house, right? I live essentially on a hill a little bit.
Yeah, Mike gets his exercise by going up his driveway.
Yeah, yeah. So I live on a hill, and there was one time that, it was a while back, my dad and I were sledding down our street. And my dad got, like, he was sledding by himself, and he was going down super fast, and this 18-wheeler starts coming down down the street that I live off of, and my dad was heading straight for the 18-wheeler, and instead of helping him, I ran inside and started crying to my mom, but he lived.
Dad's dead.
Yeah. I'm like, Mom, Dad needs help.
As the 18-wheeler barreling toward him. Yeah. I mean, I guess I wouldn't know what you would be able to do in that situation anyway.
No, I probably could
have made the right choice.
I probably could have just ran and stopped him. Definitely within my reach, but
I wasn't dying that day.
Yeah.
Never do the snow sports. Oh, ice skating. Ice skating would be good with some alcohol. Oh,
ice skating.
Twirling.
Ice skating and ice dancing.
Wait, what's that movie with Will Ferrell?
Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory. I'm pretty sure Will Ferrell hammered the entire time he's skating.
I think he's hammered for every film he makes.
He has a lot of personalities, so I think he has to be. I think he's got multiple personality disorder through drinking, through alcoholism.
But like a very successful version of it. Like, there are people that have multiple personality disorder and they kind of go off the end. He has honed it somehow and is a very successful actor as a result.
I'm sure when they call cut, he just breaks down crying.
And then they're like, all right, we're going to film in like 2 minutes. He's like, all right, I'm going to get my shit together. puts on a
Why
different.
are you all exposing my alcoholism? You make millions of dollars a year. If I could be hammered and act that way, I would do it too. I
Yeah.
would.
I think another very lethal but possibly exciting, possibly not exciting. This is actually probably the worst sport that you should drink during is
Oh, that's li
NASCAR.
literally. This is why. Okay, we didn't have Andrew on this podcast. He
Yeah.
would be very much against
I mean, they're a
that.
confined area. There would be many fatalities.
Many fatalities. Well, oh, Tour de France. The Tour de
Tour de
France.
France.
Okay, they're all doping, but instead of them using their IV bags for like EPO, they use it for straight up vodka.
Yeah, just straight tequila.
Oh,
1800
right.
silver, just into their bodies.
Ice in their veins. I mean, that's the way to even the playing field. They could take all the drugs they want, but for every ounce of drugs
That they
they
take.
take 5 shots.
Yeah.
I feel like we could go for hours thinking
I
of
think,
sports that'd be great
yeah,
with alcohol.
I think you just need to visualize what it would look like if people were hammered playing that sport.
That can be a no experience required test. We go
You're gonna
outside and we play some sports hammered.
Some international sports. I'll learn how to play cricket, whatever the
We
fuck
gotta
they do in that.
learn how to play cricket. I don't think we're cultured enough. We should take a trip to India. That should be our next one.
Yeah, my company has a cricket team. I'll hop onto it and
Like
learn.
in the US?
In the U.S., it's like a club team. Like they just play, they get together and play.
Oh, I feel like a normal club team's like an ultimate frisbee, like something American-ish.
Yeah, we have a club team and it's cricket. So,
All right.
no further comment on
Okay.
that.
Well, I think we're gonna learn cricket is how I'm what I'm gonna take away from this topic. So I think that was a pretty good get real, get random. Once again, to all the listeners out there, please don't judge us so hard. We're out here trying to make a quick buck. We're down to 50% of the hosts because they just stab us right in the back. Connor, hang out with family, and Andrew needs sleep.
Yeah.
All right.
No dedication.
There's no dedication to the pod. But you listeners, you got this far into the pod, something like 15 odd minutes. I can't see a time. I'm completely
15,
guessing.
20 sec. We're probably approaching. We currently are approaching like almost 30 minutes.
Are you fucking kidding me? Okay, I'm so sorry for keeping you all here this late. Please subscribe, download. I always forget this part. I'm not famous yet. I would plug another sponsor here, but no one wants us. So this has been Matt.
This has been Mike.
And this was No Experience Required. Thanks for listening.